people of beauty, but it also means genuine and true. And it's kind of like last week when we were reading about the I am the true vine. It's the same sort of idea. Jesus was saying, hey, I am good. I am better than the leaders that came before me, than the judges and the prophets and the kings, than even the Pharisees that he was confronting in this discussion, who were putting a harsh religion on the people. He says, I am better than them, but he's saying, I am more than that. He's actually saying that all of these pictures in the Old Testament of the good shepherding of God, all of these descriptions in places like Ecclesiastes and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and the Psalms, they're actually all pointing ahead to him. They're all talking about him. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he actually claims that he is God. He is the one described in the scriptures as being the good shepherd centuries before he was born. So let's just look at three big things we learn about this good shepherd that Jesus claims to be. And the first one is that he's selfless. He says, I will lay down my life 8 times in these verses. 8 times in 5 verses from verse 11. And after he said, I will lay down my life, he says the hired hand is not like the shepherd. He doesn't lay down his life. He doesn't own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons him. The wolf attacks the flock. Yeah, this is so much of human nature, and it's not a good part of human nature. But when we don't own something, we don't take as good care of it. Isn't that true? Okay, I've got to admit, this happened to me. I was driving a car that belonged to my parents when I was at university. They had moved to Cape Town from Zimbabwe. I just got to university in Cape Town. I was living with them. They gave me a car to use. It was a beautiful car. Is there a picture of it? That's it. It was like a Fiat Uno. Okay, it was awesome. And I just come back from working on a game park in Zimbabwe, driving Land Rover and everything. So I was kind of missing that. So I called this car my Landy. And then one day, driving back from university, I was going around the park and something just kicked in. And I actually swerved off the road into the park. And I was going between the trees and I was bouncing and things. And I felt so alive. And my Landy felt alive until the truth of its low clearance kind of hit home hard on a rock. And the oil sump was cracked, and there was oil everywhere, and I had to call my dad, and it wasn't the best moment in our relationship. But I'm sure I would have taken better care of that car if I had paid my own money for it. Okay? And it's the same if you're looking after sheep in the Mara. If it's not your own sheep, it's pretty hard to get in between you and a lion. Okay? It's just kind of like, hey, I don't get paid enough for this. Mr. Simba, please come in and take your pick. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's the difference between doing something just as a job and doing something as a calling. It's the difference between doing something as an obligation and doing something out of love. Jesus says John 15:13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friend. So you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying in our passage that when the wolf is coming, he doesn't just throw his hands up and say, hey, these sheep are not worth it. He actually says, I love these sheep so much, I will get in between the wolf and my sheep. You know, the ultimate wolf is not a person. John Piper says the ultimate wolf is the wolf of sin and judgment and death. And Jesus says, I will get in between my sheep and that wolf. And I will fight the wolf and I will kill the wolf. But he's also killed. So you see the picture here. You've got the wolf lying dead on the floor and the shepherd lying dead on the floor. This is a powerful picture. It's like the policeman who pushes the kid out the way only to be hit by the speeding bus himself. Or it's like a soldier who sees the attacker coming and he dives in front of the innocent civilian. He takes the bullet instead. Okay, but the only difference here is that we actually deserve to be eaten by that wolf. Okay, we're not innocent. That wolf of sin and death and judgment, we actually deserve it to attack us because it's us who wandered away from God, from our shepherd. Isaiah says that all of us, like sheep, we've gone astray. And yet, Jesus, it prophesies about Jesus taking the punishment of death for our sins instead of us. Paul says it really clearly in Romans 5, verse 7 to 8, he says, scarcely will one die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, an innocent person, God would dare, one would die, dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, no other religion is like this. Even the religion that the Pharisees were preaching in front of Jesus at that time. All other religions say, hey, you lay down your life. You act really well. You behave really well. And then you'll be accepted. You'll be loved. But Jesus turns it up on his head and he says, I lay down my life for you, even when you were wandering astray in the opposite direction. So we stand in awe of this good shepherd who is selfless, his body lying bloodied, lifeless on the floor next to the wolf that certainly would have killed us. Something's wrong with this picture because our shepherd's dead. Now, as sheep, we're isolated, we're vulnerable, we don't know where to find water and food, we're helpless. And that's why the good news, and the second thing we learn about the shepherd, is that he doesn't stay dead. He's a living shepherd. Check out this twist in the tale a few verses on. It says, the reason my father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. But I've also got authority to lay it down and take it up again. Jesus is not a victim. Jesus said, I'm choosing to die on the cross. And he did. And then he says, I'm choosing, I have authority to pick up my life again. And he did. And do you know what that means? It means, if that's true, he must be alive today. He's a living shepherd. J.C. Ryle says it really well. He says, the plain truth is that our Lord submitted to his death out of his own free will, because he knew that his death was the only way of making atonement for our sins. He poured out his soul into death, and with all the desire of his heart, because he determined to pay our debt to God and to redeem us from hell. For the joy set before him, he willingly endured the cross. He laid down his life in order that we, through death, might have eternal life. His death was not the death of a martyr who sinks at last, overwhelmed by his enemies. His death was the death of a triumphant conqueror who knows that even in dying, he wins for himself and his people a kingdom and a crown of glory. So we have to get our heads around this. This is amazing. Jesus is the victor who chose to die. And the Bible uses stunning language because it talks about the shepherd in that moment of him dying, becoming a lamb, becoming a sacrifice for us. Okay, so it kind of turns the whole metaphor on its head. It says, in that moment, the shepherd becomes a lamb. And that goes all the way through to the end of the story in the Bible, where in Revelation, in one verse, the Bible describes Jesus as both a slain lamb and a living shepherd. Revelation 7, verse 17, for the Lamb in the midst of their throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So we're not coming to some sort of war memorial, okay, some sort of plaque or tomb, where we like say, well, here lies the good shepherd. He laid down his life for our sheep. He is no more. And we're coming to a living person. He was dead, but now he's alive. And because he died, we're safe from the wolf. And because he lives, we're still under his care. And one day he's going to make everything right. He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. And wonderfully, he offers us a living relationship like no other. In verse 14 of our text, it says that he knows his sheep know him, just like the Father knows him. You know, this is staggering. Jesus starts with this picture of the relationship, the caring relationship between a sheep and a shepherd. But we heard from Centurion and Chris, it doesn't go that deep. And then on the other end of the scale, he talks about the most fulfilling, perfect relationship there's ever been, the relationship between the Father and the Son. And he says, hey, you won't just know me like this, like a sheep knows a shepherd. You're going to know me like this. Like the Father knows me and I know the Father. And guys, I know that sometimes we don't feel that close to God. And I know that this relationship Jesus promised will only be perfected in heaven one day. But this is such an encouragement to me as I prepared that actually I can come with confidence drawing near to God, knowing he's going to draw near to me. I can have confidence because his unstoppable plan for every one of us who are a sheep is that we will know him completely just as he knows us. And don't miss the truth in this verse as well, that even though he knows you completely, just like the Father knows him, all the good and bad, he loves you completely. He loved you enough to lay down your life for you. In a couple of weeks, we've got baptisms here at One Tribe on Easter Sunday.
Woo!
And I just want to say, like, Easter Sunday baptisms are all about the dying and the living shepherd, okay? And I want to encourage you, if you're a sheep, if you're a follower of Christ, and you have not been baptized as a sheep, as a follower of Christ, this is such an important step of obedience. And as you go under the water, you declare to the world that you believe that Jesus chose to lay down his life for you. And as you come up out of the water, you declare to the world that you believe that he chose to take his life up again, that he's living. And he's a living shepherd that you choose to follow. I can't urge you enough. Take that step. Take the plunge. Come speak to me or your life group leader afterwards, and we'll get you on track for that. Lastly, we see in this passage that Jesus is the seeking shepherd. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There'll be one flock. There'll be one shepherd. And at this stage, Jesus had this kind of small band of Jewish disciples, and actually in other places in the gospel, and he referred to these disciples as his little flock. Okay, but what Jesus is saying here in these verses is he's saying that these are not the only sheep. He says there's other sheep from other pens, and he's saying that I'm going to gather a big flock from every nation and people and language, and he said there will be one flock, one tribe, and I will be their one shepherd. And in the book of Acts, this actually happens. The good news of the Good Shepherd breaks out of Jerusalem, breaks into non-Jews' lives. And 2,000 years later, here we are. This has been the greatest movement the world has ever seen. There are billions of people who claim some sort of allegiance to Christ today. And Jesus says, you know, this picture that we see in the book of Revelation of a multitude that no one can count from every people, tribe, tongue, and the language. He's personally saying, I am 150% committed to this in pursuit of that future, in pursuit of these other sheep. He says, I must bring them also. It reminds me of that parable that Jesus told in the book of Luke, where he's like, hey, if one of you had 100 sheep, right, and he'd lost one of them, wouldn't he leave the other 99 in search of that lost sheep? Wouldn't he walk around searching for it anywhere? And when he finds it, wouldn't he put it on his shoulder like this? Sorry, I didn't tell you about this. And wouldn't he say, go back to his friends and to his neighbors, and he says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. Well, that is true. That is the passion of Jesus for the lost sheep. That is the passion of Jesus for you if you've never made that decision to follow him, but you sense that he might be pursuing you today. The Good Shepherd is the seeking shepherd, and that's why we get so excited about moving to Twin Services, because we hear his words ringing in our ears. I have other sheep. I must bring them also. So we think, well, we've got to make space for these other sheep. We think we can't be a church that's got a sign on the gate that says, no space for more sheep. It just doesn't work. That's why we do Alpha, because we believe that Jesus is calling out people's names. It's an amazing thing. If you're a follower of Christ today, it's because at one point Jesus called your name and you heard it and you responded. And we believe that as we make more space on Sundays and as we create a safe space for people at Alpha to ask the hard questions of life, we believe that Jesus is going ahead of us. He's seeking out that one of the 100. And he's calling out people's names, and he knows that because they are sheep, they're going to hear him. They're going to respond. It's such a weight off of our shoulders. The pressure's not on us, but we need to partner with God as he's on mission. So Jesus portrays himself as the selfless shepherd, as the living shepherd, as the seeking shepherd. And the crowd responds. And the crowd responds in a divided way, as we've seen in the other parts of this series. You know, some say, hey, he's mad or demon-possessed. Others say, this must be the true shepherd because we've seen his power and presence amongst us. He's healed the blind. Others say, well, just his words convince me that he's the true shepherd. It's like they're hearing his voice, calling him by name. And today, we've also got to respond to this claim that Jesus made. And just kind of two quick responses as we close. The first one is, as sheep, we must realize that we need a flock. Okay? A lone sheep in the Mara is a dead sheep in the Mara. It's vulnerable, it's isolated to the attack of a lion and the hyena. You know, sheep know that they need each other for protection, and the shepherd doesn't lead around lone sheep, kind of jumping around. He leads them as a flock. Jesus doesn't leave you with the option to say what we sometimes hear today of, hey, Jesus is my shepherd, but I'm going to be a solo sheep. And Jesus says there's one flock, there's one shepherd, there's one worldwide church, but there's also local churches that are expressions of that worldwide church. And you need to be committed to one. You know, the Bible is full of pictures like this. It talks about us being stones that are built together. It's talked about us being vines that are weaving over one another, but connected to one, branches that are connected to one vine. It talks about being one family with one father. So don't let yourself get isolated. Don't let busyness or pickiness stop you from being committed to a flock. You know, don't just say, well, I haven't found a nice enough flock of sheep. We don't say, I'm just too busy to flock with other sheep, so I'm going to scamper around in the wilderness alone. Hey, especially don't let hurt or bitterness or unforgiveness stop you from flocking with other sheep. You know, as other sheep, we can be pretty hurtful. As other sheep, we can bite. We can like jostle for pasture and water. We can kind of push you around when you're trying to rest. But there's no such thing as a perfect flock. We all got our spots and blemishes, just like you. But we're made to be better together. So move towards other sheep, not away from them. Be gracious, stick in a flock, this one or another one, as long as you're following the true shepherd. Part of how God uses sheep to care for each other is he actually talks about in the Bible of us being shepherds of other people in the flock. He says to elders, be shepherds of the sheep that are at your care willingly. He says, under the chief shepherd who's going to give you a crown of glory. And that's not just elders in the church or leaders that you see up front. That's you know, life group leaders and ministry leaders and moms and dads and kids workers. We're all supposed to be laying down our lives for the sheep around us. And the best way to do this is to remember that we're all sheep. And we're all grace by grace are called to be under shepherds, under a chief shepherd. That's what keeps us balanced in that. And that's the second point is today, as Jesus comes amongst us and he says these words, I am the good shepherd. I want to encourage you today to respond by acknowledging, I am a sheep and I need the shepherd. You know, maybe for the first time you're hearing him call your voice. Or maybe you're realizing that you've wandered far from him and the rest of the flock, and today you want to run back towards him. Why don't you come and pray with us today? Why don't you come and talk to us today? We'd love to stand with you as fellow sheep and just walk over to the good shepherd. Over to you, Bob.
Shall we give Sean a hand for that fantastic message? Wow. Absolutely outstanding.